Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome. We are the Muppets. We are back on Interesting AF. We are your hosts, Linda and Elaine. We come on here to chat about the different things that we're interested in, want to be interested in, and how we talk and connect to people. So welcome. And if you are joining us for the first time, welcome. We have multiple episodes and you can go back and kind of listen to our evolution, as it were, on here. But today we're going to talk about something that I think a lot of people have talked about. And as we were kind of looking this concept up as an episode, we saw that this people have been talking about this for quite a long time. It's not new, but it's something that I think after the years we've had has become more important. So it's the concept of the third place. And I don't know, Elaine, if you want to go into, you know, where the term came from, and then we could just like delve into the conversation, because as we were prepping for this episode, we were wondering, did we ever have a third place? Are we having a third place? How did it change? How's life changed? Makes it change for you? So,
yeah. So, the third place was first coined by a sociologist named Ray Oldenburg. He wrote a book called The Great Good Place. And for those of you who have listened to us before, we've probably already mentioned that Linda and I love the show The Good Place. So you will probably hear references of that. And so clearly, when I see a title like that, that is what I think of. And, you know, when we talk about a third place or the third place, there are a couple of like key points that describe a third place. It's a place where you can socialize and interact with others that isn't your home and isn't your workplace. You know, some examples of that include coffee shops, bars, community centers, places you may work out, hair salons, libraries, farmers markets. And it creates a sense of community that, again, isn't made up of that insulated and kind of provided for you through your family or through your work. It seems like there's a lot of recent conversation about this, right? Coming out of a global pandemic, which had a lot of lockdowns and uncertainty and fear of being around other people. It seems like the third place is kind of disappearing, and hopefully it's something that will be coming back, because it's not a concept I was aware of in my 20s or even in my early 30s, but I certainly know I have had third places in the past. I just never would have thought of it that way. And now, as Linda mentioned, like in thinking about like, oh, do we have a third? Like, do you have a third place? Do I have a third place? Like, maybe after this, we'll go out of our way to like find that new third place, because it's so important. And I think in some of the conversations we've had previously, in terms of like walking into a room of people you don't know and how to be interesting or be interested in what other people are saying, like this is a great example of how to use some of those things that we've talked about in the past, but in a little bit of a more relaxed setting, like a pub, like a library. So
like a coffee shop. And I think, you know, it's the concept of putting yourself in an entirely new environment and putting yourself beyond the role that you see yourself at home, which could be mother, wife, son, daughter, whatever kind of image you are. Then at work is you're an employee. And then in a coffee shop, you're entirely kind of your own. In a third place, for example, you'd be like another version of yourself, not to quote The Good Place, but I think the concept of having different people and different locations that you identify with and kind of create people that you can go to as many times as, you know, in different ways and connect to them in different ways. I think that's the concept. And I think a lot of people you know, given, I think in the, like we, and we talked about this before, like different countries have different concepts of this, right? Like, for example, in the Middle East, there aren't there's like coffee places, third places, like coffee, but those are usually only for men. And so women actually go to each other's houses. And so houses become the third place, but it's not yours. It's like a, like it becomes like a different, like even if you're from that house, like it actually technically becomes a third place. So it's a very weird, really depends on like the countries. Like, for example, in Europe, obviously they have coffee shops, they have like all these things, but you know, in the US, it's radically different. I think people
very different
used to have, you know, libraries. Libraries used to be such a big third place. I remember now that like it's jogging my memory because I am old. there's a Starbucks like in the area where I lived, and it was like, I think it was one of the busiest ones on like in Maryland because it was like it's in a thoroughfare. And that was my third place. I used to go there to study on weekends. And that, now that I think about it, that was my third place because we were chatting if a club would be a third place, and that decidedly did not make it in the cut because conversations need to be
impossible.
Impossible in clubs.
Yes.
No matter how loud you are, and I tried.
Really did. And you wake up with party girl voice every morning, like, yep, I party girl voice. Whatever sinus infection my child gave me.
By the way, my ENT told me to sell my children because there's too many sinus infections.
Yeah, because otherwise, like, you're just going to be like this for the rest of your life. Yeah. no, conversation is such an important part of like the definition of a third place because it's about that creating that sense of community. And one of the things that, is one of them that is completely lost and is kind of like when I hear a third place, of course I picture bistros in Europe as one of the third places, but another place that I pictured in my head when we started talking about this and when I was looking some of this stuff up, this actually came up too, were stoops. Like you watch movies from back in the day in like Brooklyn, right? And like, as an Italian, I picture are like a bunch of old Italian men outside on a stoop or, you know, outside of a meat shop, right? Like you picture Sopranos or whatever you want to picture. But like that is a third place. You're out there, you're sitting on the stoop, you're seeing people as they go by. If it's the same people time and time again, maybe they stop and they start talking to you and you start meeting people from within your community and your neighborhood. It can be, you know, a yoga studio, the gym that you go to in high school, like the gym was the local Y gym was like the place where you just went. And some of my best guy friends from high school and into college, I met there. And then, you know, of course, while living in downtown DC, there were a bar or two where they were definitely my third place. I knew the bartenders. Now going on 20 years, some of those bartenders I still know at some of those places. I think it's certainly possible to have more than one. I think it's also helpful to go seek one if you feel like maybe you haven't been as active in hobbies, right? Like you said, like libraries, like maybe there's a book club that comes out of that. If you go to the farmer's market or, you know, if you live in a place where there's an HOA and a community set up there, are there different clubs you can join? You know, go to your public golf course in the spring and summer, or if you live in a place that has lovely weather year round, like you can meet people that way. So I think there's no limit to what the third place can be as long as it inspires conversation, the opportunity to meet people who aren't already in your circle are there, and it builds a sense of community.
And you like it.
And you like it, of course. Don't do it if you don't like
but it. I think that's the concept. Like, example, like you know me, I love to read. And like there's a lot of discourse around like different books that are happening. And I have, and I don't know if I've talked about this, I have this rule that if I can't get past 50 pages in a book, I'm done. Like, I will not.
It's good.
I will
not. Why invest the time if you can't grab me in the first couple chapters?
And there's a book. And there's a book called James that is like has made the rounds. Like everybody has made the round. And it is a it's written by Percival Everett. And it's been part of the book clubs. Everybody's been talking about it. It's all of this. And it's basically a retelling of Huckleberry Finn through Jim's
I've heard about
perspective.
This. Yes.
I hated it. I could not get past the first 50 pages of that. And I am pretentious as fuck, people. Like, pretentious. Like, I took my four-year-olds to, like, an impressionist. Like, I take them to museums, like, art museums on the regular. I am trying to raise the next generation of pretentious people. And for the love of me, not get into this book. And everybody's like, it's amazing. It changed my mind. And I'm like, I think he's making fun of you. But yeah, it felt like a whole troll. And I was like, I can't do this. But like, yeah, that's the concept. Like, I was like, I'm going to try to read this book. And I was like, then don't. Like, and that's the same concept, I think, with The Third Place. Like, because when you start just, I think what we've gotten to also in a society is not trying shit out anymore. Not going, hey, I'm going to go to this coffee shop. And then if I don't like it, I'm done. And that's not how that works. Like, it's not how it works. Like, you have to, you know, maybe you don't like coffee. Maybe you go to a bar instead. Maybe you...
Or you don't drink. You go to a farmer's market. You don't cook. You go... Like, there's a million places you could go. And also, like, when we say community, it doesn't have to be 20 people. It can be one other person that you just vibed with, right? Yeah. Like, it's just a community outside of the two communities that are, like, already there for us, home and work. And I think what's really interesting, what this makes me think of is where Linda and I work, we did one of those discovery insights where you learn like what your energy colors are, right? Like what combo you are, what you lead with, what you do. And like, no surprise, I lead with like 1,000% yellow energy. But I think what
And I wonder which one I lead with.
What was most fascinating to me was you get through like all the work stuff and you sit down with all your colleagues in your office and you do this all together and it's super interesting. But what I found fascinating was you get like 3/4 of the way through this booklet that they've printed out for you and you get to the home life and your colors will flip on you, not completely invert, but like other colors will lead at home that don't necessarily, or your colors could stay the same between home and work, but mine shifted and I led with a completely different color and I had more of a balance of my colors at home than I do in a work setting. I would be very interested to know how that changes. You know, this is like that, the INTJ type quiz, it just in color form, right? I would be very curious to know like how that changes then in like a third place type setting, because it's like you said, it's another opportunity to express a different version of yourself. And it doesn't have to be that way, but like you're kind of forced out of a comfort zone in terms of a community that's already provided for you. Listen, I'm someone where like, I will take myself out on a date every night if I could. Like, I love going and just sitting in a bar and grabbing a drink, bringing my Kindle or whatever, or going out to dinner by myself. I lived in Germany for 3 months by myself. I took myself out to dinner. I traveled by myself all the time. I fucking loved it. I go to the movies by myself. If it's a movie that no one, you can't talk during the movies anyway. Like, if it's a movie that I know that like some, my husband doesn't want to see, like, fuck it, I'll just go. So, you know, it does give you an opportunity to go out and be a different version of yourself.
And if you don't, if you take only one piece of advice from us from this episode, is go to a movie by yourself. Do it. It is, you can get whatever the fuck snacks you want. You can.
It's liberating.
You can sit as close or in the middle or in the back. Like, it doesn't fucking matter. And it's magnificent.
I'm a Alamo Drafthouse, like, loyalist, because it's reserved seats. It's big, cushy seats. And they have the best food in terms of, like, bar movie food. And they have, like, a ton of options for drinks. It was the first place I could ever go and watch a movie and order a glass of wine. Now that's more of a thing that happens. You know, AMC does it. Whatever other companies are still out there.
I pick. They all do it. Is the one that's near me.
We've got like iLook or whatever up the street now too, or whatever it's called. But yeah, they all do it now. But Alamo Drafthouse to me was the game changer. So I'm like I agree. Go to the movies by yourself, but also like go to the library or go find a workout class that you like, or go sit at a coffee shop by yourself. You know, there's a coffee shop near us that also becomes a brewery at night, and they throw events all the time. They do yoga on the rooftop, like during the spring and summer every other month. I've gone to that a couple times, and you meet people in your town. Like it's great. Like it's not what I would consider my third place because I don't go there very often. But when I do, I always run into people I know, and it's great.
And I would, the two of us would be remiss to say that it's okay if this changes during periods of your life.
Like now,
clearly we have small children, and the amount of, again, talking about it and going, I think now date night has become my third place. And my husband is the other person I go with on that. But it's kind of like, in a way, that's the only regular thing I do. Yes, it happens to be with another person that I know anyway. But we become different versions of ourselves that are not focused on parenting.
Right. Absolutely.
And I don't know if that, like, but that probably doesn't, you know, immediately correlate, but you know, there's other people. If you start going to the same place on date night, like I think it's about taking yourself out of where you're living, like where you're living, how you're talking to people every day, because like Elaine said, you are a different version of yourself as you go in different places. So I think it's just try different things. And I think for as online as we are, we forget that there's so much shit to do. So many people are doing so much. And it's people, do you remember that website Meetup or something? And there were different things that you could like meet up, like groups would meet up.
Yeah.
I don't know if that still exists, but I thought that was great. And apparently right now, as I saw that, people are really into running clubs now.
Oh, like yeah. That's, running clubs. Yeah, that's always been
been a thing, but like, you know, it's apparently being, rolled out more often now. And
yeah,
people are like more running and doing things, but that's the concept, right? Pick an activity that you really like. And even if you don't know that, you know what? Ask ChatGPT. Go, hey, like, are there activities in my town that I can do? What do you suggest? I like XYZ. I like reading. I like walking. I like painting.
Yeah. Puzzles, whatever.
Whatever it is. And I think, you know, don't limit yourself. And always, if you want to ask us and we can email, from our beds as our kids are coughing in our faces. That's fine.
Did write down our
thoughts. We're not bitter. We're not bitter.
Not at all.
At all.
We're totally healthy.
Totally.
As I still have party girl voice from 10 days ago.
not many of us can hang out at wineries for our birthdays.
It's true. This is a big one.
That was your third place.
Wineries are definitely my third place. A third place for me.
If I lived in California.
Oh.
The beach would be my third place.
No one would ever see me again. I'd be like, y'all got to come to me. Fuck all y'all. Like, this place is great. I'm never leaving. The food's insane. The wine's insane. The people are awesome. Like, get the fuck out.
You know who? And I've never seen – I don't really see famous people. Like, I never see famous people. I just don't. And I only ever saw Leanne Rimes at a fucking Napa wine. I don't even remember. It was like, I think it was in Healdsburg. There was my bet. One of my really good friends lives there. And she lives there. And I saw Leanne Rimes at a winery around there. And I was like, why is Leanne Rimes here?
Because she's all the best out there.
Yeah, but also, it was just so random.
So many musicians have wineries now and vineyards now, though. Like, so many of them have just so much fuck you money that they're like, yeah, I'll buy a vineyard. Whatever. Zach Brown has one.
God bless.
Yeah. Like, fucking Post Malone has one. Post Malone makes his wine is good. That is fucking great.
Great.
Maison Neuf. Très bien.
Mwah. So good.
Yeah. Wait.
Is that the only one he makes?
Yeah. It's just that one rosé out of Provence, which is just like fucking killer. And speaking of France and Europe, a lot of times in the conversation about the third place, it's like Europe's so much better at the third place than we are. They just are. And I think some of that, though, is like how like our people, Americans get a lot of grief when they're like, you guys have never left your own country. And I'm like, but do you have any idea how fucking big our country is?
That's like, right.
New England, which is six states, six or seven. Oof, I should know. Like Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Maine, New Hampshire. Yeah, six. As someone who's from,
don't ask me.
I know that number off the top of my head. So don't at me on that one. I'm just speaking too quickly. But anyway, like the size of New England is essentially like the same population as the entire country of Italy or France, or, you know, like six states are the entire population of one country in Europe. And so, and those are very tightly packed states. When you get further out west, there is fucking nothing. So in countries like Italy or France or Germany, where there are, or any other European country, there are several major cities. And what I think Europe absolutely does better is even in the small rural towns, there are those options for those third places. And yes, in rural towns in the US, there are too, but you may have to drive like an hour to get to it. And in Spain or in Croatia, like the third places are typically like, it's tiny little rural towns, but everything is in the same place because that's how they build old European towns. And I fucking love it. But so there's a reason for why there are several reasons why Europeans are better at it. They're also just better at prioritizing that type of stuff than we are, which I know Linda has a great point about this.
Well, that's because of their social system, right? So they're more of a community-based society than an individualistic. Again, we listen and we don't judge. We're not judging. It's just what it is.
No, but we also, I think your point that the difference in how Americans and Europeans view work is also, they're just much better. I mean, if anyone's been in Italy when it hits 5 o'clock in the evening, like you better have a seat at a bar with an Aperol Spritz already, or you're going to run, then you ain't going to get a seat. Because like everybody leaves work, they go to their third place and they go get their Aperol Spritz. And I fucking love it. I love it. But I think it's just set up also, again, like we live to work. They work to live. I like to try to find that balance of I'd rather work so I can live well. but, you know, I think there are several reasons why Europe's better at it than we are. But like I would definitely like to consciously make more of an effort to find a third place. Although I think when you asked the question, and I don't know that I could think of it, I think I did come up with what my third place is.
Which is?
And it does involve my husband. It's Grateful Dead shows.
Yeah. That's our third place. Yeah, that is true. Sure. That's like, your third place.
Like without question. So my husband and I have been to over, I think I did the math. We've definitely been to over 40 great like iterations of the Grateful Dead, whether it's Dead and Company, whether it's Fare Thee Well, whether it's Further or Bobby and Phil, or you know, like all the different iterations of. And for those of you who are not Deadheads, they will never ever perform under the moniker of the Grateful Dead, because the living members of the Grateful Dead believe that if Jerry Garcia is not around, they are not the Grateful Dead. So that's why they every time there's new people added or they do a different iteration of it, there's a different name for it. So anyway,
it's not like Menudo where like
they you just swap people in and out, right? No, that's not how the Grateful Dead work. But we've been to
is
over
that 40 sacrilege to like put those two together?
No, never. Okay, never.
Just checking.
Never. It's music, and they like true musicians go and listen to each other's music just to hear what's out there, right?
So 40 shows. You've been to 40
shows. We have literally, there's this like weird force at Grateful Dead shows that just kind of like bring people together. We have run into the same people at several shows, including ones that we've gone to in Mexico, in fucking Colorado, in Las Vegas. Like we will run into people. We used to go to a music festival outside of Charlottesville, Virginia every year called Lock-In, which is, I miss it terribly, has not come back since COVID. And there's tens of thousands of people there. And 2 years in a row, it's an open field. There's no assigned seating. You just plop your seat down and you sit. For 2 years in a row, we ended up sitting next to the same people who do not live anywhere near us. We do not know them. We did not know them before. We haven't seen them since. But like, it's just this like weird thing. Every time we go to a show in Virginia, we end up parking near this older couple and their very good friend. We've seen them four times. We've been two or three cars away from them for 4 years. We sat That's a row insane. In front of them last year. I have pictures with them since 2017. Like
that's insane.
Yes. And every time we see each other, we're always like, huh, we did it again. Like we don't plan with these people. One of these guys lives in Chicago.
That's bananas.
And so it's just like, it's fucking bananas, but it's like Deadheads have stories like that since 1965 when they started as a band. Yeah. And so that to me is probably the best third place because we truly feel like a part of a community when we go to those shows. And I could say concerts because we love concerts and we love live music, but specifically like Grateful Dead concerts and Grateful Dead inspired concerts would be definitely be our third place these days.
I like that. That's a good one.
Yeah. So that's mine.
Well, I mean, especially like you meet, you know, it's your community, right? So totally. I feels like with, you know, the Grateful Dead and Deadheads and those fans that kind of follow that seems like it's not a cohesive group, but it seems like to be a group. And so people like move. And I think that's the thing, like thinking about it that way doesn't mean you see these people every week.
Nope.
Right. Like you are part of the community online. You're part of the community. And I think rather than seeing like online or Instagram or those things as like a replacement, it's an addition to the third place, right? Like the comments. Okay. Also, it must be said the comment section is not your third place.
No.
Please stop being an asshole in the comment section. And that's not your third place.
Nothing it's involving the screen is your third place.
It can be an addition to it.
Sure.
But it is not your third place. Your third place has to be physical. And I will, you know, whatever updates they do to the third place as we go, it has to be a place.
Yes. A place that is not in your home
or your work. Or your phone.
Or your phone. You know what? You know what I'll do? On the Instagram page, I will include a couple of pictures of me with those guys that I keep running into at all the Dead shows. I'll put a couple of them up there.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah.
Let's do that. But I think, you know, I think in many ways, our society, you know, keeps moving forward in different ways and we're not adapting. You know, I think COVID really, really, I don't think as a collective, we are realizing the effects of COVID. Because it was so traumatizing and our brain is doing exactly what it is built to do. And that's to keep you safe from trauma.
Survive.
Yeah. And you guys, that was traumatic. People, I'm not supposed to say guys. People. let's just be okay with the fact that that was horrible.
That was
collective trauma. We still haven't gotten over it. We will never get over it.
Mm-mm.
And for those of us who went through major life transitions, having kids, losing people,
mm-hmm.
Losing jobs, losing houses, it was such a shift that it's okay if you had a third place before COVID and now you don't. It's not your fault.
No.
But it is in your hands to mm-hmm. find one in order to expand your horizons, in order to think of different things, in order to wonder different things. And I think that in a lot of ways, we still won't understand the full impact of what COVID has done to our society until many, many, many years from now.
You know, there's a study that came out in the last couple of years about they're studying how trauma gets handed down by studying teeth.
Yes.
It's a fascinating, fascinating paper. And so like when you say like we won't know for generations to come, like study our teeth. What did COVID do to our teeth, y'all? What did they do?
What did it do to our teeth? But one of the things that they say is, I don't know if you've saw, it's a study somewhere that I also have to find, that women, we have our eggs. We are born with the eggs that we have for our lives. So we don't, it's not like men where they create sperm every time. Women are born with a finite number of eggs that they, release and kind of grow and release every cycle. And we grow those in the womb. So when we mm-hmm. are, when women are, when girls and women are being formed in the womb, we're creating those eggs, right? So the thing is, this is very mind-blowing, is that you're creating it in the womb of your mother, which the egg that becomes you eventually was created in the womb of your grandmother.
Woof.
And so if your grandmother, for example, went through a shit ton of trauma, like food insecurity, war, famine, whatever, and she was dealing with that when she was pregnant.
That explains so much.
Doesn't it though?
Oh my God. Guys, the look on my face.
Wow. Doesn't it?
Mind blown emoji.
So when people say intergenerational trauma, it's an actual thing because we do not. So it's something called epigenetics. So essentially the concept of,
it's a good word,
like your genetics are being formed in like much, much earlier. Like I'll give you the exact term. So like, it's like the definition. It's basically, epigenetics is the study of environmental factors and behavior that alters the way genes function without changing our DNA sequence. So essentially your grandmother is, and this affects men and women because we come from an embryo that what is made with sperm and egg in case you haven't Googled that. So an egg is always there, but it was created generations ago almost, right? Like the epigenetics of it is much deeper than we think. And like the concept of, why certain cancers like shift and grow and during different times.
Interesting.
A lot of scientists think it comes from epigenetics because we start at some point, people start smoking or the microplastics start being an issue.
Yeah.
And they go, that starts affecting our genetics. And so it's just very interesting in how all these things happen. And I don't know how this rant started, but here we are.
Doesn't matter. It's great.
Is the word of the
fascinating.
Day.
It's very interesting, which is the only reason we're here.
Yeah, it's interesting. So read up on the third place, epigenetics. Yeah. And I'm glad I will find that link. I will find that study about the eggs and the grandmother and like all that stuff. And, you know, I just it's just very, very interesting to go. COVID has altered our lives in so many imperceivable ways.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I think we're not talking about it also, and this is my, and I've told you the storyline before, but I found it very interesting. I was at a work meeting and somebody said, I don't know how they were, I came in and Linda enters herself in the conversation and they're talking about the flu epidemic of the 1910s. And the person goes, you know, our great grandparents or great great grandparents or grandparents never really talked about it. And I go, because they were traumatized. We just had an epidemic like 2 years ago. Are we talking about that? Because we're not. Because we're not. And it's, again, the brain does what it does best. It tries to forget in order to survive and in order to move on. But that doesn't mean our lives haven't changed. And we need to be okay with the fact that things have changed and we have to adapt and we have to change and we have to, in order to be interesting, not be blah with your life, not have this like ennui that I think a lot of people are feeling right now in many places. And I don't think it's just the US. I think kind of talk to everybody. Everybody's kind of like blah. Like, you know what it feels like? It feels like everybody's hungover. We're making really bad decisions. We're eating the McDonald's the day after.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking from recent experience from 2 days ago.
I love McDonald's right now.
McDonald's is so good right now.
I never say that, but I would love some McDonald's right now.
I love McDonald's. I love McDonald's. I don't know why we have so. I am really into the fountain Diet Coke right now.
Fountain soda from McDonald's, everybody knows, is just fucking better. Period.
Better. There's like nothing better than a fountain Diet Coke from McDonald's when you're like hungover as fuck.
Yes.
You go get your like egg McMuffin or egg bacon, whatever the fuck you're eating. And that fountain of life through that fucking yellow and red and white straw that they used to have.
Oh, yeah. R.I.P.
R.I.P. but at least not the turtles, which apparently some studies are saying maybe we should have kept the plastic. It wouldn't have mattered. I don't know.
Don't get me started on that. There's 9 rivers in the world that are the problem of plastics in the ocean. And they are in countries that don't give a shit about cleaning up plastics in the ocean. And guess what? None of them are in the United States. I'll just throw that out there. Clean up the oceans, y'all. But like, your plastic straw ain't the problem.
It's not.
Give me a paper straw. I'll throw it in the street. I'd rather just drink it without. Just don't give me a straw at all.
Just burn it.
Just don't give me a straw at all.
Don't give me a straw. Also, fine lines and wrinkles.
Yeah, true. Listen, I love the turtles. I don't want the turtles or any ocean animals to hurt. I really don't. But like, plastic straws ain't the fucking problem. We can get into that another time if we want.
There's a reason why World War Z.
Soapbox.
If you ever read the book World War Z, by the way.
I love that book.
The Korean zombie.
Water zombies? No, thank you.
It was the water zombie that started
it. Thank you.
It's probably from that river where the water plastics.
Yeah. Yeah. The Koreans did it right, though. They just took everybody's teeth out. It was smart. That was like one of my favorite parts of the book. I was like, oh, why has no other zombie book thought of that one?
that's called problem solving. That's what that's called.
Take your teeth out.
Yeah, we can't.
No one can bite you. They don't have
nobody
teeth.
Can bite you. Anyway, but yeah, I think, you know, go to a movie by yourself.
Yeah.
That's great. Go find your third place.
Studio. Go sit at a coffee shop.
Go sit at a coffee shop.
Take yourself out for a drink.
Take yourself out for a drink. Because you know what? You're fucking worth it. Like a Maybelline commercial.
Fucking right. If nothing else. Like, you don't even need to go meet people. You're worth it.
Yeah.
You earned it.
And
you
survived you know what? Day.
You earned it. Yes,
and you survived COVID. You're here. Like oh, it Jesus didn't. Christ. Like every time, and I like to pretend again, as previously mentioned, I'm pretentious, and I like to think that I think about things a lot. I don't think about COVID a lot at all. Like I don't think about that period of time, which is weird.
I had kids. There are some things I'd like to go back to, like without the global pandemic, without people dying or people being sick part, of course, never again. But like, there are some things during lockdown where I was kind of like, oh, this is kind of nice. All the birds came back. There were birds I'd never seen in my life out in our front yard. Like it was quiet. Like the world kind of healed itself. The environment had like healed itself in a matter of months. There's a great documentary on that, by the way.
Is
David
there?
Attenborough narrates it.
Well, then fuck. Why haven't we seen a David Attenborough documentary so far?
Oh, yeah,
actually?
We'll put him on the list.
We're doing an arc though right now. So we're in an arc.
Yes.
And speaking of which.
Maybe as a palate cleanser, we will throw in some David Attenborough of it. But yes, it's a great segue. Linda, please.
I did not. I'm not that smart. So just be clear that that was.
Spit water everywhere.
That was purely, I don't know how I did that. I don't even know how I did that. And for I don't remember the title of it. So maybe you do that later until I look it up. Why
so if you haven't picked up on where we're going with this, Linda was talking about the arc that we're currently on with the doc is in. So we just, if you haven't listened, our last doc is in was about the Spider-Man at Paris, which is the biggest art heist in France. From that, we are going straight into the 4-part docuseries on Netflix called This is a Robbery. It is about the world's largest art heist of my favorite museum on the planet, the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum in Boston. It is unlike any museum you will ever go to in your life. And the Isabella Stewart Gardner is a fascinating woman. Fucking socialite powerhouse, just like woman beyond her time, just awesome. It happened on St. Patrick's Day in 1990, which is like the most Boston thing that could happen ever. Other than the only other thing I say is more Boston than that is in the movie The Town, which I fucking love, is like only Bostonians would steal from the fucking Boston Red Sox, like only in Boston. But Boston, I've lived there. I love you guys. Like, no hate, except for the Red Sox, because
also
sorry, I'm a Yankees fan.
Really,
but anyway.
Really hot men there.
Oh.
Surprise.
Oh,
like,
yes.
Like, we're both married.
That accent with a baseball cap on, like, forget it.
Facial hair.
Dead. Dead. The flannel like, with the flannel button-down flannel shirt with a puffy
and, like,
vest.
And, kind of like, open, the puffy vest and the
Yeah, and the accent. You're throwing a little accent.
Yeah,
in
yeah. Keep on going.
Love it. Boston,
we love
keep
it.
Doing you. Because I love
doing
you.
You.
We love you. But yeah, this is a robbery. We will do two. We will devote two episodes of The Doc is In. And we will
back
do
to
two
back.
Episodes back to back. So we will do two episodes each. So the next episode will be the first two episodes of
yep.
This is a Robbery. Linda, do you have those episode names
I do.
Up in front of you?
I do. Oh, so while because
on Netflix.
Because for whatever reason, I can't remember This is a Robbery. Maybe because, you know, I don't want to be suspicious that I've never committed a robbery, but I really haven't. But I don't know. I don't know why I have like a mental block about that. But like Elaine said, it's called This is a Robbery and it is on Netflix. So if you have Netflix, you know, you can go there. It was released in April of 2021. So fairly mm-hmm. recent. Each episode is about 50 to 57 minutes. So we will do the first two and the first two are They Looked Like Cops. And the second one is Vipers in the Grass. And I'm really loving these titles. They're mm-hmm. great. Yeah. So we will do the first two. And it has a very high Rotten Tomatoes rating of 83%. It says like between 81 and 83, but I think it went up to 83 the more people are reading it. It was directed by Colin Barnicle, And it is in English. So, you know, like the other one we had was mostly in French subtitles, but this one is in English. So, but very, you know, very excited to listen to this one. I have not been to the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum, which is a travesty, really, because
it's going to make you want to go even more after seeing this.
Well, then truly. I feel like we have to have like a
field trip,
like a trip up there. Well, actually, I am going to Boston in a couple of months. I might do that.
Done. Like you should go.
Yeah. So
over by Northeastern University, it's absolutely like
so. Like not in Boston, but nearby.
Yeah, nearby. I mean, technically within Boston, but like it's not in Charlestown. It's not in
Harvard. You know. I'm talking about Harvard.
Oh yeah. Fuck. It's not in Cambridge. Fancy ass Cambridge.
God bless. Fancy ass Cambridge. But yeah, so we're really excited. And then for the next episode, we'll tell you the next two episodes and then we will close it out. So again, you know, thanks so much for joining us. Always fun to talk about these topics with you and, you know, kind of work our way through these very interesting topics, I guess. Like it's just super interesting when you kind of delve into the smaller parts of it, how actually indelible and important these types of things are. So again, thank you so much for joining us on Interesting as Fuck. And we look forward to having you on the Doc as In. And Elaine, take us away.
Stay interested.